2 months ago, I did a kind of a reflection and a memorial on the life of John MacArthur, who passed away this past summer. And one of the things that came up on the YouTube page was Charlie Kirk's tribute to John MacArthur. And it's about a 5-minute tribute where he highlighted the great things that John MacArthur did and the faithfulness to Christ that he showed and what an inspiration he was to him. And Charlie Kirk said, "We are going to continue this fight after John MacArthur is gone." Little did any of us know that he would only continue in that fight for 2 more months. This past week, of course, on Wednesday, Charlie Kirk was brutally murdered in Utah. And I actually wrote an article on TrueScript titled, "Yes, Pastor, You Should Address Charlie Kirk's Martyrdom in Church." So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read my article right now, where we can kind of process this together, what happened on Wednesday. "On Wednesday, September 10th, I received a text message from my mother only a few minutes after Charlie Kirk was shot. When you hear sudden news like this concerning a significant figure, you hope for the best but fear the worst. I then followed the news and sadly learned that the shot to his neck was fatal and he passed. News like this brings back memories of tragic times of old. On November 22nd, 1963, everyone knew where they were when John Kennedy was shot. It shook the entire nation. Everyone knew where they were on September 11th, 2001, when the events of that day took place. With events such as these, it was difficult for people to go on with their daily activities. All they could do was think about the tragedy that happened. This has been the experience of millions across the nation over the past couple of days when they heard the news showing the enormous influence that Charlie Kirk had. Sometimes you don't know how influential someone was until that person dies. What we learned Wednesday is that Charlie Kirk is not only one of the most well-known Christians in America, but also one of the most well-known people in America. It was around 4 o'clock Central Time when I heard that he had died. At 6:30, we had a regularly scheduled Bible study on Wednesday night, and instead of going through the Gospel of John, we actually talked about this at Wednesday night Bible study. What has been on all of our minds is that a significant figure in American politics and Christianity had just savagely been taken from this world. And there is so much to process, and all of it is so fresh on our minds. How important it is for a pastor to shepherd his people through this monumental tragedy. What happened at Utah Valley University on Wednesday was a satanic attack aimed at the great work that God has been doing through a young man. When a great work of God is taking place, just wait. A great assault from Satan is on the horizon. Where weak and mediocre Christianity takes place, Satan pays little attention. Satan is a destroyer. He loves to destroy the work that God is doing. The Apostle Peter wrote that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He spends his energy every day trying to squash God's work. His biggest target is on God's most effective servants. Satan's focus was on bringing Jesus down during his ministry. The Apostle Paul, who faced enormous opposition during his ministry, was aware of the devil's schemes, and that our struggle behind human actors is against Satan and his demons. What happened in Utah on Wednesday was Satan's attack on God's servant, and it was an attack on his church. We should not be surprised that Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a servant of Satan, said in a rant full of expletives that his death should not be mourned, but it's important for us to call them out. Statements such as these have been spoken in large number by Satan's servants all over America. The devil hates the work that Charlie has done over the past number of years. Charlie went to arguably the darkest places in America, college campuses, to proclaim the truth of God's Word and the Gospel. Misinformed Christians may say that all he did was focus on politics. But what is politics? Rightly done, politics is applying biblical ethics to the public square. Charlie taught students who were in the process of being indoctrinated what a God-honoring society is supposed to look like. The students were able to hear from him that following God's law meant blessing for a nation. As King Solomon wrote, "Righteousness exalts a nation." Anyone who watched Charlie's clips on the internet can see that he not only brought biblical ethics to bear on public policy, but he also regularly proclaimed the gospel. It is reasonable to conclude that thousands or even millions of young Americans came to saving faith in Jesus Christ through Charlie's bold proclamation. One of his last posts on X, he wrote, "Jesus defeated death so you can live." As Charlie argued for God's law in the public square, he was doing what the prophets of old did, calling out the idols in our nation. As he did this, he called people to repent. While it is true that Charlie was a conservative political activist, it is equally true that he was an evangelist on college campuses. He was a John Witherspoon-like figure, a founding father that made a difference on this country and on people's souls. Many Christian leaders have been confused as to whether or not Charlie was a good influencer, good for America, good for the church. This is the question they have asked. Satan was not asking this question, though. Satan was not confused. This is why he took him out. He used his willing servant, Tyler Robinson, a radicalized young leftist, to do so. Make no mistake about it, Charlie wasn't murdered because he was a political conservative thought leader, but for his bold stance for Christ. Charlie Kirk is a Christian martyr. For pastors not to say something to their people on Sunday would be a dereliction of duty. To not acknowledge this would be akin to not acknowledging major events of the past, but it would be even more of a missed opportunity than those tragedies. This tragedy speaks directly to the spiritual battle that we see playing out every day. We are in this battle, whether pastors or Christians like to believe it or not. On Sunday, which is today, there needs to be gratitude for the work that Christ did through Charlie. And that's what we're doing today. We're giving gratitude for what the Lord accomplished through this young man. It is also an opportunity to reflect on this, to think about what God might be doing with this tragedy. It's an opportunity to continue the work of God in which he eagerly and boldly engaged. Pastors need to call their people not only to proclaim the truth of God's word at home and in the church, but also in the public square. No doubt Charlie resisted the voices that have told Christians to avoid engaging in the public square, believing that public engagement is somehow not our task. What Christians need to realize is that full faithfulness to Christ requires that we engage the public square and go after the idols of our day. As we go after idols in our communities, we then call sinners to repent and believe in Jesus. Because this has been so neglected over the years, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What an opportunity for pastors and Christians to see the fruit that came from Charlie getting God's word and the gospel into college campuses. He certainly wasn't perfect in everything he said, but the Lord clearly blessed his work. If he blessed his, he will bless ours also. We have an opportunity before us to wake up a nation toward Christ. We have an opportunity before us that as the public hears God's wonderful law and the gospel which saves, the obvious evil in our land will be turned back. Everyone knows there are deep issues in our nation. Superficial solutions will change nothing. This nation needs a return to the Bible. Charlie understood this, and the Lord's favor was upon him. May we follow his example of being salt and light. We are called to love our neighbor. The church needs to be the church. Our nation desperately needs our influence. Yes, Pastor, you should address Charlie Kirk's martyrdom in church on Sunday. So that's what we are doing here today, reflecting on his life, his legacy, and what this means for us. You know, and what this means for us, I think, is we need to be bold with our family members. We need to be bold with our neighbors. We need to be bold with our community. We need to not let evil reign in our community. And there's a cost to this, right? Because there was a cost for Charlie. It was his life. And I know that Matthew 10 says, the worst thing they can do to us is kill the body. But they cannot kill the soul. We are to fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so we need to understand the times that we live in. There is enormous evil out there. We saw it on full display on Wednesday. We see how desperate Satan gets when the truth is shining in a dark place. When the light of the gospel of Christ is shining in a dark place, he gets desperate. But just like he did with the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, as Jesus was proclaiming the truth, as Jesus was preaching, as people were believing, you know what Satan did? He got desperate and he took them out. But we know that God used Satan's foolishness to bring about our salvation. Satan didn't understand that through the death of Christ, salvation would come to the world. So what Satan meant for evil, God meant for enormous good. And I see that that's already happening with the martyrdom of Charlie Kirk. There's an old saying that the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Okay, so we should not be afraid and cower in fear. You know, what might happen to us if we proclaim the gospel of Christ, if we promote the law of God in the public square? We just need to say, Lord, I am yours. Send me and be faithful and live that life. And whatever his will for our life is, that's what we need to trust. To be a Christian is not a safe life. It's a life of taking risks for the Lord. And I feel like I'm already preaching the sermon for today. But I just wanted to make this very clear today that it's so important that we learn from this and that we are emboldened by his example and carry that on. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, we do thank you for the life of Charlie Kirk and his brave example. 31 years old. He was just a glimmer of light, and then he's gone, just like that. And yet, you had a purpose for him. And your purpose for him was not a small purpose. It was a global purpose. It was a purpose where the nation would be united around him. The righteous in this nation would be united around him. And he would be a lightning bolt of righteous in this country. And we say thank you for him. Thank you for his life. He is a brother in Christ. We will see him one day, and we look forward to that. We do pray, Lord, that, as I just mentioned, that our nation, the Christians in this nation, the church, would be emboldened to do what he did, to continue that legacy, to push back the darkness, to call people to repent and believe in Jesus. And Lord, our hearts ache. The greatest sadness of this all, don't have their husband and father in the home, and our hearts grieve at that. And we say on their behalf, Lord, we pray on their behalf that through this horrible experience that they would feel the tremendous comfort of Christ. And that over time, they would be able to see the great good that you're doing through this, even though it's not going to bring him back. And that they would live their lives, Lord, looking ahead to that day when they will be reunited with him and when they will be able to look on their Savior just like he is right now. So we do pray, Lord, for your hand in all of this. And even those, Lord, who are showing their true colors and all their hate and showing how dark their heart is, that they would be ashamed and that they would be drawn to Jesus Christ. We even pray for the shooter. He's only 22 years old. He's been radicalized. He did a horrible, horrible thing. And yet we even pray that he would understand what he has done. I know he grew up in a conservative home with Christian values, that he would realize what he has done. And we pray for his repentance too. I know Charlie would want us to do that, to pray for his repentance, which is truly remarkable. That's not how the world works, but that's how the Bible tells us to live, and we need to forgive. And so we do pray, Lord, that all those with hate would realize their hate and turn and believe in Christ, and that those who will continue in their hate, that we would stand against them and not back down and stand on the Word of God. And Lord, our war is not vengeance. Our war is pushing righteousness forward. That's how we fight back. Pushing righteousness forward, pushing the gospel forward. That we would be salt and light, and that we would love our neighbor. And as I transition right now, it's hard to transition right now. I'm gonna say amen here.